Hi, I'm Johanna Ferreira, content director of Pop Sugar Juntos. Juntos is all about celebrating Latinx culture, pride, our many intersectional identities, and joy. Thanks to support from Prime, there's so much to get into over at Juntos this month. From conversations with the Latinx minds behind our favorite new movies and resurrected TV shows, to thoughtful celebrity commentary and exclusive interviews with some of the biggest Latin music artists today. And it doesn't stop there. Get more of the music, movies, and shopping you love on Prime. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more of whatever you're into from streaming to shopping. And get all of our latest coverage at popsugar.com/juntos. Con amor, Johanna.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
This episode contains language that may not be suitable for everyone. Please use discretion.
Today's date is February 28th. I am Special Agent Monica Stramberg with the Illinois State Police Division of Internal Investigation. With me in the room are...
Investigator Rick Noble, Illinois Department of Corrections.
And you are, ma'am?
Susan Prentice, Major, Pontiac Correctional Center.
Prentice, P-R-E-N...
In the winter of 2019... A woman named Susan Prentice sat down for an interview with two investigators. Susan Prentice is a high-ranking correctional officer at the Pontiac Correctional Center. She supervises other staff.
You don't have to talk to me. If you don't like the line of questioning, I'm going down. You can say, I'm done, Monica.
Okay.
Then you can walk out.
Okay.
Are we good with that?
We're good with
that. All right, so with that said...
Pontiac Correctional Center is a maximum security prison in the small town of Pontiac, Illinois. It's the oldest in the state, founded in 1871. And it's large, with tall red brick walls and towers. It's known as one of the most violent prisons in the state. And there's one staff member there whose name comes up a lot, Susan Prentice. Here's Jimia Stokes. She worked in the prison as a mental health counselor.
I would describe Susan Prentice as the devil. And I say that with all sincerity.
Many of the men incarcerated at Pontiac said similar things.
Oh, yeah. They call her the Red Devil.
They call her Princess. They call her the Red Dragon.
Her reputation was if you didn't comply with whatever she told you to do, she would get the officers and she would come to your cell and they would jump on you.
She don't like you. You out. So... if this who up top, why you think everybody else assholes? Like, she don't care about nothing.
Monica Stramberg, the state police officer conducting the interview, said she had heard about her from guards who have a different perspective.
And everybody I talk to, Major Prentice is a rock star. We want to do things for him because you know what? Major Prentice has my back. And if somebody has my back, I'm going to fucking work my ass off for you.
Monica Stramberg tells Susan Prentice that she was once a guard in an Illinois prison. She tells her, quote, we've done a lot of the same things.
Have you always been at Pontiac?
Yes.
Really? God bless you. How many years is that? 22, 23?
Yeah, 23.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to speak for you, but I know what I've had to do to gain respect from the fellas. And we all back each other up 100%. I am very pro-police, pro-CO. I'm not a thug. And you've been here for 23 years. Obviously, you have gained a boatload of respect, and you know what goes on. And that's what we want to talk about today, about things that are going on here.
Federal court records show that Susan Prentice has been named in more than 100 lawsuits. She's not always the focus of the lawsuits, sometimes just the supervisor. None of those cases ended with a judgment against her, but the state did pay to settle several of them. Some claim Prentice destroyed someone's property. Another claimed that she and other guards kept a man from getting medical care. And there was a case about officers who worked under Prentice, getting one prisoner to beat another prisoner up. That case settled for $50,000.
Police culture's crazy. Fireman culture, we all have our own little cliques.
Sure.
Honestly, I really don't hang out with anybody but police officers. But people that we have the same mindset and we think the same way. After work, we went out, we had beer, and we all drank until it was time not to drink and go home. When it comes to the camaraderie, we get it. You know, everybody talks amongst each other. Do they or don't they? Do CEOs do that? Yeah.
Well, I'm friends with a few of them, but as far as their personal lives, I mean, they don't bring anything that to me.
But Prentice's husband is a correctional officer at a nearby prison, and her son is a guard at Pontiac. Her emails show affection with other staff. Some of the emails include the words, "I love you," and "I love you more." There are plans to go out drinking or to stay at each other's houses, and conversations about holidays or fights with family. In one email to a former coworker, Susan Prentice writes that she thinks the Department of Corrections is, quote, "just like the military as far as friends go. High-stress job, so everyone kind of sticks together more. I always said that I never have had friends like I did in the Army until I started here."
Being here from all these years, how many times have people thrown stuff on you?
A whole lot.
A lot? You've ever been beat up, shanked, stabbed, or whatever y'all call it? No. What type of substances have people thrown on you?
Feces, urine, food. And we just go over to the healthcare unit and wash your hands or wash your face and get back over to work.
You just get back to work? Yeah.
Yeah, that's just kind of what we do.
At this point, Strandberg gives Prentice a piece of paper.
Just tell me if you remember this incident.
Yeah, it's my handwriting.
Okay.
So it doesn't...
What does this mean to me?
He's SMI.
This report that Prentice wrote is about a man in prison named Frederick Walker.
I don't know if I did or didn't.
He's officially designated as what's called SMI, seriously mentally ill. And Prentice reports that he threw something on her that smelled and looked like urine.
Do you remember this incident specifically?
I remember, not specific. Not a lot of specifics on it.
It was brought to our attention that you had said to your husband regarding a use of force, I think it was water, but urine carries a longer said time.
To my husband?
I have 427 emails right here. Andrew Prentice is your husband right here. The outline one.
Yeah, he's my husband.
So there's 427 emails in here regarding a whole lot of stuff that are shady. Involving each one of them is from you or some from somebody else in the institution to you. Why the hell would you say that?
I don't know. Probably didn't get any sick time.
No, he got time.
He's SMI. He couldn't have got much time.
It's hard to hear, but what she said is he probably didn't get any seg time. Time in segregation. She says that's because Frederick Walker is designated seriously mentally ill. But people designated as SMI do get sent to segregation. And Frederick Walker was sent to segregation for 45 days, where he spent up to 23 hours a day in a cell without much stimulation. If it wasn't clear to Susan Prentice before, the investigators aren't interviewing her about something one of the incarcerated men at Pontiac Correctional Center did. They're there about her. They've got 427 emails and a lot of questions. The podcast Motive from WBEZ Chicago spent 2 years digging through official reports, emails, talking to staff, and people in prison to find out what was going on at Pontiac Correctional Center. I'm Phoebe Judge. This is Criminal. We'll be right back. Support for Criminal comes from Ritual. Ritual's Essential for Women is a multivitamin with an ingredients label you can trust. Ritual uses a delayed-release design in their capsules. That means your body absorbs what it needs when it needs it. That also makes it easy on your stomach, and you don't even need to take it with food. And while some vitamins smell terrible, Ritual puts a peppermint oil-infused tab in each bottle that keeps each bottle smelling fresh. Ritual's Essential for Women works to support your brain, bones, and red blood cells, and it's USP verified, meaning the ingredients label matches exactly what's inside, so you know what you're putting in your body. I've been taking Ritual every day for a few months now. My favorite things about it are that it doesn't smell or taste like other vitamins, and that it has omega-3 DHA and vitamin D3. Ritual's Essential for Women 18+ is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/criminal. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18+ to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/criminal for 25% off.
Hi, I'm Johanna Ferreira, content director of Pop Sugar Juntos. Juntos is all about celebrating Latinx culture, pride, our many intersectional identities, and joy. Thanks to support from Prime, there's so much to get into over at Juntos this month. From conversations with the Latine minds behind our favorite new movies and resurrected TV shows, to thoughtful celebrity commentary and exclusive interviews with some of the biggest Latin music artists today. And it doesn't stop there. Get more of the music, movies, and shopping you love on Prime. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more of whatever you're into from streaming to shopping. And get all of our latest coverage at PopSugar.com/Juntos. Con amor, Johanna.
The podcast Motive from WBEZ Chicago got their hands on recordings of investigators interrogating Susan Prentice. Here's Motive reporter Shannon Heffernan.
The incident with Frederick Walker being accused of throwing urine illustrates something I've heard over and over again from people locked inside, something that I think the interrogation of Susan Prentice is trying to get at, that guards allegedly have an unofficial way of punishing the men behind bars, and that there's ways it's hidden. In this case, Prentice offers a defense. Even if she had lied on her reports, said Walker threw urine when she thought it was water, it didn't matter. Throwing liquid at a guard, urine or water, you broke the same rule, you're going to get the same seg time. But there is discretion in what people actually end up getting punished for. And urine, well, sounds worse, right? More likely something administrators are going to pursue for punishment. And they did. In addition to seg time, Walker's case got forwarded from prison officials to the prosecutor to be considered for criminal prosecution of Walker. These reports, the one Prentice wrote, they're powerful. And if it wasn't for the fact that she bragged about her lie in writing, there would be no way to prove that Walker hadn't thrown urine on her. People usually believe guards after all.
I just want to just understand what you were thinking or why you said it. That's all.
I don't know.
Obviously, you were angry with the inmate. I get that. If somebody throws something on you, I mean, I wouldn't be freaking happy about it one bit.
Sure.
That's human nature. I'm just trying to get in your mind and wondering what you were thinking.
I don't know.
Frederick Walker fully admits to throwing water on Prentice. He says she had just pepper sprayed him and he was trying to stop her from doing it again. He said he thought it pissed her off. And a few days after the water incident, Walker said two guards came to his cell and beat him. He said they never said it explicitly, but he believed it was retaliation for throwing water at Prentice. I reached Walker in prison. Prison phones are not great. The audio is hard to understand. But He said a guard pulled his hands through the slot where the food trays are delivered.
He took the food and he slammed it twice, real hard, bam, bam, on both my arms. So I had a whole bunch of injuries on my forearms.
He said after they slammed the door on his arms, they came into his cell. He said he moved to the back, but they followed. Then one of them picked him up.
He picked me up and slammed me down. So I was kind of scared that the guy would hurt me while I was on the floor. And I was trying to get up, so my back was to him. By the time I made it to my feet, he went to hit me in the left side of my back, and my ribs real hard.
Walker was later treated for a rib fracture, according to his medical records. In emails, Prentice wrote to a group of guards that Walker is reporting an injury caused by staff. She writes, quote, "I did view the camera, and you can see that an incident occurred, but no details." Another staff member writes back, quote, "What camera did you watch? Both cameras on that end are pointing at the wall," which, obviously, not super useful. With no clear video and nothing but the word of Walker versus staff, prison administrators decided accusations from Walker were unsubstantiated. The guards were absolved. So, this beating Walker alleges, it never came up in the recorded interrogation. I don't know if investigators didn't piece it together or it's not their focus, but either way, investigators told her lying on a report, saying someone threw urine when she thought it was water, can be official misconduct, a felony. And what Prentice doesn't know, at least at this point in the interview, is that at the exact same time investigators are talking to her, an hour drive away, investigators are also talking to a former correctional officer who worked underneath her.
I'm Trooper Timothy Price, Illinois State Police Division, Internal Investigation, and in the room I have with me...
Investigator Nick Moody, Illinois Department of Corrections.
If you'll introduce yourself, please.
Andrew Edwards, former officer at Pontiac.
Okay.
Edwards no longer works at Pontiac, but still works for the state, in the Department of Human Services, as a caseworker. The interview is happening at his new office. The interview starts a lot like Prentice's, pretty buddy-buddy. The police officer, Price, tells Edwards he, too, used to be a CO at Pontiac.
It's like, when I was at Pontiac, man, I would have done anything to protect somebody else. Mm-hmm. If an inmate
of course.
Kind of assed up and then everybody's going down, punch kick, whatever, I'd be the first one to admit it. I was like, all right, yeah, inmate did an assault or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll ride it out. Protect each other.
After a bit of friendly back and forth, how bad the people locked up at Pontiac are, how hard you work to cover your fellow employees' asses, Edwards brings up his old boss, Prentice.
I work with Major Prentice. You know, she was my supervisor for the longest time, and she's kind of a hard ass, you know, but she's a female running the, you know, the worst house in the state of Illinois, you know, so she's got her tough ways, but I would die for her. I mean, she was awesome. You know, I love her to death.
So what's it about Sue Prentice that you're so close with her?
Because she always had my back. She always has her officers' backs.
Yeah, yeah. I love Sue because, like, she was all about, she's pro-officer.
Oh, yeah.
All about the COs. Yeah. Sue was, like, the one person that never backed down from anything.
No, ever.
Ever. Yeah. And you could be like, look, like, this inmate's fuck mouth me.
Yeah.
He's won't give a tray out. She'd be like, all right, let's go take care of him.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
What were some of the interactions that occurred whenever Sue was like a supervisor? Anything that comes to mind over that way that we would need to maybe look into a little bit?
No, I mean, I always thought she did shit the right way, you know, as far as her ever like having me do anything bogus. I mean, that never happened. I mean, she, like I said, I'm not gonna, no bad things are gonna be said about her by me, so.
Yeah, yeah, she's.
Just for the record, state officials said Price, you know, like said, this police officer, did work for the Department of Corrections, just like Strandberg. But I wasn't ever able to confirm if it's true he worked with Prentice or that he was involved in the kinds of incidents he says he was. All that could be a lie, an investigation tactic to draw Edwards out. But either way, as soon as Edwards brings up Susan Prentice, the interview zeroes in on that, Price prodding Edwards to say a little more.
Anything that Sue ever did that was kind of on the bogus side or questionable, maybe, that you can think of?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Anything that comes to mind? You kind of hesitated there a little bit.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. I mean, there's just so much shit that happens at Pontiac, you know, throughout a year, throughout a day, you know. I mean, everybody's always thrown into some kind of bogus shit, you know.
Right, right. Well, what about her bogus shit? Like anything that she said or that she's done or she's had you do or you report?
I mean, maybe, you know, like stripping a guy of his property, like taking everything, you know, leaving him in there with boxers on. You know, I never really thought that was totally right, but you know, sometimes if you gotta, she'd have you go in there and just take his property because he assaulted somebody the week before.
These punishments, the stripping out, leaving men in their cells without clothes or any of their property, Edwards doesn't seem that fazed by admitting to this. And it's also not what Officer Price is focused on. He blows right by it. What he's interested in are those 427 emails. He's got copies too. And he starts reading them.
Okay. So it looks like at 4:44 p.m., you had sent Sue Prentice an email. So you said, "You're definitely right about prison friends. You go through a lot of shit with those people, so it bonds you a little more. Especially when your boss wants you to go into a cell and then bite her, so it's justified why we kick the crap out of him, LOL." So, the first thing, the most important thing right now, is this comment, "Especially when your boss wants you to go into a cell and then bite her, so it's justified why we kick the crap out of him."
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was, I mean, she came up to me one day. It was with inmate Holloway. He had just assaulted, an officer he assaulted the day before. And she was steaming in the morning at a roll call. Mm-hmm. And he had a history of biting because he bit me before. She said we were going to go into a cell and do whatever we, you know, whoop up on him. And she was going to have me bite her to make it look like he did it. So we were justified.
Justified in beating him up. Because Edward said Prentice told him they should kick Walker's teeth in.
Yeah, but we never did that. I mean, we never went in a cell or anything. Okay. It got shut down.
Was she laughing about it? Was she serious?
I mean, she seemed fairly serious, I guess.
And what did you say to her? Okay.
I was kind of kind of hesitant at first, so, you know, I said, you know, if that's what you want to do, I guess that's what we'll do.
Even though he says it never ended up happening, Edwards just admitted that he agreed to bite Prentice so they'd have justification to assault a man in prison. And he said he was following his boss's lead. It was Prentice's idea. Back in the Prentice interview, she's learning that her former subordinate, Edwards, is also talking to the police. Strandberg tells her Edwards is cooperating, talking with an investigator at this very moment about that biting email. Strandberg implies she's getting updates about what Edwards is saying.
That you wanted to go into Holloway's cell and batter him, and then she and Edwards would go into the cell, and he would bite her. Edwards would bite you. Until she told him to stop, and that would be the reason why they battered Holloway.
Well, there's always a lot of talk. We always talk about stupid stuff, but it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they told you it didn't happen.
And you wanted to kick his teeth in. Holloway's teeth in. And Edwards bit you.
Well, if Edwards bit me, I probably would have went to the healthcare unit, correct?
Mm-hmm. I'm asking you.
I'm asking you. I probably would have had to go to the healthcare unit and file an injury report, correct? That's the protocol.
Strandberg starts to amp up her game, go after Prentice even harder. She prods Prentice about how close she and Edwards are. She keeps coming back to that in this interrogation. The relationships, familial, platonic, romantic.
But my point is somebody that likes you that much would do something for you. to try to batter an inmate in some way.
He never battered anyone. Didn't happen.
It did not happen.
No. It did not happen.
Prentice is not giving Strandberg much to work with. But the pressure building on Edwards, well, it's working a little better.
We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
All right, so remember when I told you, I asked you about bogus staff members and things you heard, and you told me nothing, right? Yeah. So you lied to me a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so let's not lie about anything again, okay? Because again, we always know what's going on.
Yeah, right? I know. I mean, I should have assumed you knew.
Price basically tells Edwards, you got a cushy state job here at Human Services, but remember, you just started here. You're on probation. And I know your supervisor. I don't think he'd be happy to learn about these emails.
So make sure you're saving face, okay? Because I don't want to keep sitting here giving you a ton of opportunities to talk when you know something, because the best interest that you can do is to talk. And you can go back out there and you can do your work. I'm just saying there were things that occurred that we need to know about. Because I do remember back when she was a lieutenant. And same thing, go, hey, Sue, this is what we got going on. She's like, all right, go pull his ass out of the cell. We'll go put him downstairs. We'll strip him out for no reason. Things like that.
Well, that's kind of what I said earlier. You know, I mean, she probably brought a lot of it on herself. I mean, I think she kind of, you know, gets off on that kind of stuff. You know, she loves riling them up and seeing them get whooped up on. She definitely does brings a lot of it on her, and that, I mean, I very rarely saw her ever like put her hands on somebody, mainly just because she can't. I mean, she can, but you know, she's female, so.
But what Sue does do is she assembles her team and they go down there and she says, get them, do what you got to do. And I've been there, done that with her.
She does
before.
That.
Exactly what she does.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a certain situation where she actually said, like, you know, go in there and, I mean, she would always tell us, you know, just go do what you got to do. You know, I'll cover your ass. You know, she said that all the time, and she always would. She would set a team, and she'd say, okay, today it's you. You know, if something goes down, I don't want anybody else in the cell house coming, because things get, one report says this thing, one report says something different. So she'd always have a little three-man team, she called it. That way all the incident reports matched. You know, because that was kind of the point of it, so the incident reports wouldn't get screwed up.
We put these allegations to Prentice. She refused to do an interview or provide a comment. Edwards tells the police officer that this three-man team, as Prentice called it, this crew that she flagged to respond to situations, it usually included a guard Prentice was, according to Edwards, having an affair with. That seems backed up by emails in which that guard sends Prentice sexual messages and she discusses meeting up with him. It appears to be an affair with a subordinate, and the closeness of the relationships at Pontiac is something both staff and people in prison told me allows the abuse and cover-ups to happen. Edwards tells Price this guard was, quote, always rough around the edges.
I don't know many incidents with them, but I know he was, a lot of times he was Prentice's, like, absolute go-to.
Well, we know why.
But... Well, yeah, and not just that, but because he is a, you know, strong motherfucker, yeah. And, you know, he'll fight with anybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As for Edwards himself, times he acted as part of Prentice's crew, there's really only one story he tells that gets into the specifics. It's about a guy named Marlon Billups. Billups was on the mental health caseload. Staff had accused him of assault before, and he had previous run-ins with Prentice and people she was close to. In fact, a 2016 incident with him, it's the only time I found where Prentice got seriously disciplined up to this point. I won't get into all the details, but in a lawsuit, Billups basically said guards beat him up after he argued with Prentice. He said the guard who Prentice appeared to be having an affair with was part of it. Also present, according to prison records, though not entirely clear how much he participated, Prentice's son. There's pictures of Billups where his face is swollen and bruised. It's difficult to look at. Prentice says the injuries mysteriously appeared that night, implying he did it to himself, a common accusation I've heard from staff. The guards weren't punished for assault. Investigators said there wasn't sufficient evidence. But Prentice was put on unpaid leave for not writing a report. So, back to the Edwards interview. The thing to know is this guy, Billups, he's got a history with Prentice and her people. About 8 months after that first incident, he covered up the window to his cell. That's not allowed. Guards went into his cell, including Edwards, and that guard Prentice appeared to be having an affair with. And then, according to Edwards, Prentice standing at the door looking on.
You know, she had told me, she, you know, before we went in, she goes, you know, nothing in the face, you know, as far as hitting him, whatever. And he was much squirrelier than I thought. And I kicked him in the mouth. You know, he got some stitches.
Okay, and did she tell you to do that?
Nope, that was me. Okay. I just kind of lost my shit. You know, he's trying to assault us, and I just saw, you know, wasn't even thinking, and I did it.
Okay, gotcha. And she knew it? She knew that she had kicked him in the
I don't know. I mean, there's so much going on right there. You know, I don't know for sure if she saw me do it, yeah. You know, but, I mean, I told her I did.
Okay, I gotcha, man. Been there, done it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might get their ass whooped, and I got it coming. It's cool.
Yeah.
In a report, staff wrote Billups tried to run out of his cell, but no one, including Edwards, mentioned that kick, which they should have. It's supposed to be in the official version of anything important that happened. In her report, Prentice says Billups had a lip injury, but didn't say anything about Billups getting kicked, even though Edwards said he told her he did it. As far as I can tell, this time, there weren't any repercussions for any of the staff. The thing that struck me most when I pieced together the Billups incidents is how casual Edwards is. Like, these kinds of things are so normal, it's almost inconsequential. At one point, he says he knows he was in the wrong with how he treated Billups. But then, after admitting all this, Edwards basically says, but none of this is serious, right? Happens all the time?
As far as, like, serious incidents, I was never involved in anything real, real serious. I mean, would you flub a story a little bit? Yeah, you know, if you say the guy... You got him in the cell, and then he tried spinning on you, and maybe you didn't, you know, but you just roughed him up a little more than what he had to be. I mean, I'm not going to say that never, you know, never happened.
I got you, man. Trust me. I'm with you, dude. We're on the same page. I get it.
Other things, I mean, like I said, you know, yeah, I've lied on incident reports before, but I think basically any officer that ever worked there probably has. I mean, at the time, you're just doing it just because you're looking out for everybody else.
Sure. Do you know anybody that was doing that type of stuff?
I'm sure everybody.
Yeah.
After 2 hours of talk, Edward's interview ends.
All right, well, if that's the case, we'll conclude the interview. Time is 12:55 p.m.
Besides wading through this interview tape, I also read hundreds of emails, complaints from people in prison, incident reports written by guards, medical documents of injuries. It was a lot to make sense of. So I took it to one of the first people who I had heard about Prentiss from.
Hi. I'm here to see Alan Mills.
The Uptown People's Law Center is in Chicago, in the storefront of an old two-story building. The sign is a simple vinyl banner stretched above the doorway. The place looks like it's held together with spit and string. But almost all the major class action lawsuits in Illinois prisons lead back to here, specifically to Alan Mills. He's the executive director and has been working there since 1979.
Hey, team.
Hi. Hi. Alan, it's good to see you.
You too. Good to see anybody.
The building is a maze inside, like the offices were shaken up and rolled like dice. At one spot, you have to go outside on a sidewalk to get between them.
I would suggest your coat. Unfortunately, yes.
On the walls is artwork made by people in prison.
People get very creative. I don't know what he actually used. Skittles are, if you ever see color, it's probably Skittles that people are using.
Huh.
There's a floor-to-ceiling bookshelf full of letters asking for help. Staff say more than 100 letters a week come in from prisons, and they read and respond to every single one. Over the years, Mills said they've seen a pattern emerge, with Prentiss, but other staff too. A cycle of retaliation. Describe to me what you've heard and understand about how cycles of retaliation might work inside.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about it, I've sued about it. It happens all of the time. Rather than allowing the disciplinary process to do its job, guards often will take it upon themselves to immediately impose their own discipline against the prisoner. Sort of, you hit one of ours, so we're going to hit you even harder. And as I said before, guards ultimately are going to win those battles.
So there may be a retaliation cycle, but somebody really has the upper hand.
Absolutely.
The stories he heard from people inside often unfold like this. An incarcerated person will do something a guard doesn't like. Maybe something big like an assault, throwing a bodily fluid. Maybe something small like just running his mouth. Then staff will retaliate, conveniently forget to give someone a meal. Maybe get physical, maybe use pepper spray. And it will just keep escalating, over and over again, the same pattern. When I show Mills the emails, the medical reports of injuries, nothing surprises him. Still, when he reads this stuff, I can see him having a physical reaction, moving uneasily in his chair.
It's disturbing to see it in black and white. It just is. I mean, again, you know it happens all the time, but to see how confident they are in themselves that they can just write this down in a format that anybody can read. I don't know if it's, the good way to think of this is that they're technologically ignorant and don't think about the fact that somebody might actually look at email someday and think they're really private when obviously they're on a state system, so they're not. But I'm afraid that the real answer is they know perfectly well nobody cares.
And in these allegations of abuse, there's one person's name that comes up a lot. Susan Prentiss. How often does her name come up in letters, calls?
At Pontiac for a while anyway, it was coming up daily. I mean, more than daily, multiple times a day in the letters. For a while, she was in charge of the unit that has the mental health unit in it, and everybody there would complain about her all of the time.
Those complaints had been stacking up for years. And now Prentiss is sitting across from someone who has laid out a case using her own emails of how she is framing prisoners and, if not beating them up, at least enabling it to happen. Here's some of Strandberg's interrogation with Prentiss. Strandberg sometimes calls her Kim, which is Prentiss's middle name.
You know, a lot of inmates get their asses beat in this facility and that you turn a blind eye or you support it. And that's fine, but I'm telling you what, that's unethical, and that's wrong, and it isn't appropriate. And you know these things, and we know you know it, and we have the facts that you do it.
I don't do it. I report what I witness.
If you want to stick to that, that's fine. I've been a fucking police officer for 22 years, and you've been in the Department of Corrections for 23 years. There's stuff that we see out there and hasn't been reported? No. So for you to say, in all your years in this facility, you have never seen anything go on without reporting it, that's bullshit.
I mean,
you know
that.
That's bullshit.
I didn't say that.
You said you report everything you see, and that's bullshit.
What did I say?
You said
I said I learned my...
If I saw it, I report it. My question is, in all these years, okay, for instance, 20 years, my question is you. You've looked a blind eye to several things, to many things. That's why I'm asking you. Yes or no?
Depending on what it is.
Well,
it does
depend.
Not splitting hairs. It does depend on what it is.
You know, inmates, you know, shit rolls
what,
down.
What if an inmate threw something on somebody and they didn't feed him a tray? Might I turn a blind eye? Yeah, I don't necessarily know it for sure, but whatever.
We're talking about somebody being beat up. I'm not doing it.
It's not happening.
You know. Other people do it for you, or you let it happen.
Absolutely not.
You lied in a report to get a guy more seg time. How was that okay?
I never said it was okay. I mean, just like I told you, I don't know what my mindset was when I wrote it. I don't know what my mindset was when I talked to my husband.
That's official misconduct. That's a felony.
I understand that.
Talking to these guys, conspiring to beat an inmate up. That's official misconduct. That's a felony.
Well, we didn't do it.
I
don't understand.
But what else have you done? If you're willing to do these two things...
Obviously, I wasn't willing to do it or we would have done it.
Well, you did this one. You admitted to it already.
I did. I said, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that.
All right.
You know, I'm trying to be honest with you as far as that goes.
All right. There's nothing else to talk about it, okay? Is there anything else you want to say about anything regarding this?
Yeah.
No? Okay. This will conclude the interview. The time is 12:59 p.m.
After this interview, state police forwarded their investigation to prosecutors to decide on criminal charges. But charges were never brought. Edwards is still working at the Illinois Department of Human Services as a caseworker. He never responded to our questions. Prentice would not comment either. And in response to our detailed list of questions, the Illinois Department of Corrections said only that they take excessive force allegations extremely seriously and have a process in place to conduct thorough investigations. They said, quote, "When investigations are substantiated, IDOC will take disciplinary action, up to and including termination." In Prentice's case, they did open an investigation, looking at the same emails the police did, to decide if she should be disciplined at work. And that investigation did conclude that Prentice gave false information on a report. But she wasn't fired.
And what it tells me is nothing has changed. You know, for decades, it was pretty clear that the way to get promotions in the Department of Corrections was to be abusive towards inmates, and that the abusive people end up being the supervisors.
Uptown People's Law Center Executive Director Alan Mills.
I thought that some of that had changed and they were doing a much more better job of professionalizing at least the warden level. But apparently down at the, what is she, a major, right? Major Prentice? Yeah.
She's a major.
Right. Down at the major level, that is still true, that your ability, your willingness to be brutal will only get you promoted.
Why can somebody like this have so much power?
Because our prison system is based on inflicting punishment, and that's all they do.
I think what Mills is getting at here is maybe the state doesn't fire people like Prentice because they are doing their job, actually doing what they've been asked to do. At one point in his police interview, Edwards alludes to something similar, at least as I understand him. He's talking about the first incident with a prisoner named Billups. That's the one where there's a picture of him with a swollen eye and a bruised face. The one where Prentice got a short suspension over a failure to report. After the incident, Edwards says Prentice and members of her team, including him, got moved out of that cell house, the cell house with so many mentally ill people. But after a few months, He said administrators moved Prentice and her team right back. Edwards' theory? The other guards couldn't handle it. What she did worked. Her methods kept people under control. And that's what the bosses wanted.
Because she's one of the only majors, I think, that could handle it mentally. I mean, you know, she comes in and brings her crew with her, and within a couple of weeks, it's kind of more cleaned up, you know, so she's just, in my eyes, she's the best.
Prentice kept her job until she retired in 2021. She was never charged. But somebody else was. Frederick Walker, the guy Prentice accused of throwing urine, even though she thought it was water. In his case, the prosecutor did decide to bring felony charges for that very incident. Those charges were eventually dropped, but only after we uncovered Prentice's emails.
Reporter Shannon Heffernan from the podcast Motive from WBEZ Chicago. They have other episodes out now covering issues inside the Illinois Department of Corrections. Criminal is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Our producers are Susanna Robertson, Jackie Sujiko, and Libby Foster. Our technical director is Rob Byers. This episode was also mixed by Joe Dassault. Engineering by Russ Henry. Motive is produced by Jesse Dukes, Marie Mendoza, and Joe Dassault. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasolka. Motive's editor is Rob Wildebor, and their executive producer is Kevin Dawson. Original music by Q-Shop. Julian Alexander makes original illustrations for each episode of Criminal. You can see them at thisiscriminal.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Criminal Show, and Instagram at Criminal_podcast. Criminal is recorded at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. Discover more great shows at podcast.voxmedia.com. I'm Phoebe Judge. This is Criminal.
Hi, I'm Johanna Ferreira, content director of Pop Sugar Juntos. Juntos is all about celebrating Latinx culture, pride, our many intersectional identities, and joy. Thanks to support from Prime, there's so much to get into over at Juntos this month. From conversations with the Latinx minds behind our favorite new movies and resurrected TV shows, to thoughtful celebrity commentary and exclusive interviews with some of the biggest Latin music artists today. And it doesn't stop there. Get more of the music, movies, and shopping you love on Prime. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more of whatever you're into from streaming to shopping. And get all of our latest coverage at popsugar.com/juntos. Con amor, Johanna.